All right, so today is Testimony Sunday, and it's been a while. We didn't do Testimony Sunday, so today is a great day when we will hear testimony from, once again, from our family member in Jesus Christ. So it's been a while, so I just want to mention a little bit why we are doing this. We are doing this because we want to build a stronger bond between each other. We want to build our sense of community. Meaning, you know, when God is working in someone's life in this church, God is actually working in us. Because when God is teaching something to someone in this church, God is actually teaching something for us. Testimony is the platform where we want to practice our sense of community together. Their testimony is our testimony. When God did great things to a person, the person give thanks, the community also need to give thanks. Because God is actively working in that community. When God taught a person something, then everybody, God is actually teaching everyone in that community something. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Your story is our story. Your testimony is our testimony. Your message is our message. All right, so today the topic of the testimony is about motherhood. The reason why we pick motherhood, because next week is Mother's Day. So it's kind of like a friendly reminder. Hey, next week is Mother's Day. If you don't have anything planned for your mother, shame on you, plan something. All right, so without further delay, I'd like to welcome the first one that's going to give and share their testimony, Chi Yan.
Good afternoon, everyone. If I have not, or you have not known my name, real name, I'm called Tian Yan. And if we have not been introduced formally, a little bit of me, I'm Pastor Suge's wife. And this is my three kids. They're, the oldest one is my daughter. She's 23. The middle one's Christian, 18, and the youngest one, Samuel, 16. Okay? So this afternoon, I was asked by Pastor Jeffrey to give testimony and sharing about motherhood. This is not my forte to be in the front. Usually I was in the back, busy doing something. That's my forte. So, but I'm thankful that I can share a little bit. This is for God's glory, okay? So, first question that Pastor Jeffrey wants me to answer is, what is your biggest challenge of being a mom? Challenge. A lot. It is abundance in motherhood. And I'm pretty sure in all our lives, a life without challenge will be so boring. Just like when you are playing video games, right? You play it so that you can advance to a higher level, the next level up. And you can expect that with every advancement, ooh, there will be a, challenging and a more, halangan? Hurdles and stuff like that, right? And then when I think, look back, when I think I have mastered my baby schedule, eating, pooping, sleeping, suddenly my kids grows into toddlerhood, who is now having issues with obedience, discipline issues. I feel that that's kind of like under control. My kids emerge into school age, who had issue with friends, jealousy, fighting with siblings, that's a big one. Homework. Then, suddenly, my child refused to be kissed and become awkward teenager with arguing and talking back, independent spirit, right? Then comes dating issue, heartbreak, boyfriend, girlfriend, It's always new and harder challenge with every stage of my children development. But with that every children stage, I also need to up my game in my motherhood skill. So my biggest challenge personally on the beginning of my motherhood, which is changing my life priority. Before kids, imagine this. Me and my husband, you know, we can go to the movie anytime, shopping, work, wake up late on the weekend, whenever we like. But that privilege immediately gone. The day after I bring home our firstborn daughter from the hospital, my schedule has been based on the demand and juggling within her needs, my husband's needs, and the brother's needs, on top of my role, right, as a wife. So feeding, laundry, sleeping schedule, piano lessons, play dates, pick up from school, doctor appointments, and so on. I have just realized then how much sacrifice of time and energy that the mother have to make to take care of kids. Mothers work without financial gains or acknowledgement from boss. Yet, this job requires all of our mind, our soul, our body, and all the time that I have on earth. It doesn't matter whether I'm awake, I'm sleepy, I'm tired, I'm healthy, I'm sick. I am required all the time. But I thank God. Thank you, Jesus. That my kids are not babies anymore. They can take care almost all of it by themselves. But as long as I live, I will always be a mom. The job may be different, but it will never end. So the next question that Pastor Jeffrey wants me to answer is, what is your joy then? I'm here not to scare the singles or the one that is, you know, about to have a baby. Okay, the best is yet to come, so listen on. So what is your joy then? The joy of motherhood is different in each stage of my life and my children's life. Truthfully, I'm not always joyful in the process. Many times, I actually complain to God. I remember when my kids was very, very young, they will come to me all the time. They will not leave me alone. They fight, tattletaling, "Mom, he took my toys." And once like, "Mom," you know, things like that. All the time, "Mom, mom, mom," they will never leave me alone, right? So I complained like, "Lord, when I can have my own time, I need my own time." And then suddenly, in the midst of complaining, God reminds me. I was like washing my dishes when, you know, I'm complaining. And then God reminds me, you better enjoy this season of life when your kid still wants to call you, "Mom, mom here, mom." Because there will be time. That's when you wish that you want to be called. They don't call you. So it's like, that mindset, you know, that's like a breakthrough to me. So even though things still hard, they still fight every single day, nonstop, and they will always call me, "Mom, mom, to do this, to do that." But because of that, I was reminded, yes, I am want to be thankful because they are still with me. If they call me, means they are still around. So, what joy? Well, I say that I take joy in when I saw a glimpse of godliness, kindness, self-control, devotion, as well as seeing them having success in their life. Graduation, get a job, promotion, making good choices based on godly principles, you know, something like that. Or persistent in completing homework, responsible with school works. And I take joy sometimes when they have a surprise breakfast for me on Mother's Day. I take joy in that. And I also take joy for the opportunity in making important and crucial contribution in human life that is entrusted to me. And there is someone who calls me mom, and it feels so special. I take joy in that. And last one, so he asked me, what do you learn about God by being a mom? Well, I learn a lot about God. That is about love, discipline, trust, and faith. As I discipline my kids, I understand the heart of God more. When my kids disobey and making bad or wrong choices, it makes me sad. It creates a wall, creates separation. It creates distension between me and my kids, within them. Because we have to face with disciplines. And discipline is not a happy process for me, nor for them. They don't like it, and I don't like it either. A lot of times, I find myself crying as my kids suffer, have to suffer the consequence of their offenses. But motivated by love, my love, I have to let them to go through the consequences so that they may live wisely and train them towards righteousness. Many times my kids struggle, though, to see my love behind that discipline. They think that consequences equals hate. Sometimes they push me away. They resented me. They don't want to talk to me or like making that face, right? At that time, I felt when they do that, I felt offended and sad by their mistrust in me. They don't know how deep is my love for them. This lesson serves as a revelation for me, of how God must have felt when I doubted his love for me, when he disciplined me. It comes from the place of love. He disciplined me because he loves me. I need to learn to trust his heart, that he loves me even when I do not understand why. He allows certain unpleasant things or sufferings comes on my way. Spiritually, God is actively refining me to become more like him and a better version of myself through my motherhood journey. A more loving, more others-oriented, a little bit more patient, a little bit more self-control, a kinder person, a better cook, a better detective. I can see from your eyes, right? You're not telling the truth. More empathetic counselor, a better manager in times with the scheduling kids, you know, three kids, three different school, different activities after school. And I'm more creative. Do you know that you have to be creative if you have three kids? You cannot discipline the same thing for the three kids. One works for one, doesn't work for the others. So you have to be creative in disciplining too. So motherhood is like a gold refinement process. Through the fire of motherhood, all my impurities come to surface, that at the end I become more pure and precious. Through motherhood, I can testify also that God is good and God is caring. He is my source of help. He's my source of wisdom. He's my comforter. He's my father and rocks. Being a mom, you know, I frustrated a lot and discouraged a lot. I realized, you know, can you realize how hard it is to control ourselves, right? To become good. Like, I know what is good. For example, sometimes I cannot even force myself to want to exercise more or to eat more vegetables. You know, all the good things, right? Right? No? No problem with all you guys? Oh, wow. Okay. And then, now, I even have to train another human being with their own sets of weaknesses and sins, right, to be more like Christ. I can't figure out myself yet, totally, right? But I have to train them. Yikes. Right? So I felt really and very, 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 very unqualified to do this job. I realized then, this parenting thing or motherhood job has never meant to be done by me and my husband alone. I realized this parent, I really need God on this job. Really need God. Thus, it forces me to pray and seek Him more. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10. It says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong because of Christ." If I look back, why and how I can withstand those early, newborn stage, 2 a.m. feeding time, 5 a.m., sleep barely, eat, you know, it's really hard to time your eating time, tired all the time. I don't know how can I withstand not only one time, but 3 times. Can you imagine that? It's nothing else other than love. I thank God who loves me first. I thank God for imparting His love capacity to all parents, especially moms. And also thank God for my husband who is in my team to rear our kids. This motherhood certainly enlarging my love muscles and enriching my spiritual life. Now, if I may give a suggestion to all of us here, speaking on behalf of your moms, all over wherever your mom is, I know that we, as a human parents, we are far from perfect. But trust our heart. We have nothing but love for you. So when you get discipline from mom or dad, remember this Proverb 13, verse 24. "He who spares the rod hates their children, but he who loves their children is careful to discipline them." So, on this Mother's Day week, please remember all the mothers in your life who nurture you. It could be your biological mom, grandma, auntie, or even mentors in the church, teachers. Remember them, thank them, give them a call, bring them gift, bring them to dinner. Just show your thankfulness for them, for all their what they have done into your life. I hope that this can be helpful for all of you. That's all.
All right, and the second one that I like to call, Chinita.
Thank you, Kojab. Good afternoon, everyone. So for those who don't know me, my name is Nita, and I have, that's my husband, Rinaldi, and we have one son, his name is Kyle, and he's 15 months old. So if Tianyan is in level 50 of the motherhood game, I'm probably like level 1, because I've only been a mom for 15 months now. Similar to Tianyan, today I'll be sharing a little bit about the challenges and joy as a mom. And motherhood is, it's true that it's filled with joy. But to be honest, similar story. In my motherhood journey, I don't always feel joy. There are times when I feel that what I'm doing is really mundane and I'm just super exhausted and I just need my own time. I don't feel joy. When Kyle was a newborn, every 3 hours, as Yanyan mentioned, we have to feed him, change his diaper, and then he would be awake for a little bit, and then we need to shush him to sleep, right? And that cycle just keeps going every three hours, and that's, you know, even in the middle of the night, right? So as you can imagine, you probably get, you know, 2 hours of sleep, and then you need to wake up and feed the baby again and, you know, stay with the baby for another hour, and then you probably get maybe it's another 2 hours of sleep. So it's super tiring, and on top of that, at that time, you know, when we brought Kyle home, obviously we just came out of laboring, right? Trying to get Kyle out into this world. And just so happened that, and that's him. And it just so happened that my labor, the labor was really long for us. It started Thursday night, and Carl was finally born into this world on Sunday morning. So it was a long labor, and I was just so exhausted. And I did realize that when I'm physically tired, it's just so hard to be joyful in what I'm doing. You know, I'd be changing diaper, and I'm like, I just need my sleep. When, you know, when can I, will I ever get a good night's sleep again? You know, those kind of complaints and questions. Thankfully, after a few days, we start getting into the rhythm of things. We start, you know, being familiar on how to change the diaper and his sleep schedule and things like that. And at that time, of course, there are a lot of amazing people who are helping us with Kyle. My husband, Rinaldi, he's super wonderful. He's very hands-on with, you know, helping to take care of Kyle. And at that time, I have my mom-in-law was here, and she's amazing. She just, you know, she cooks for us. She helps us to take care of Kyle. And of course, there are a lot of, you know, our friends and families from the church, from our college, who, you know, visit us, give us a lot of words of encouragement, and even deliver food for us. And as things start to settle down, I was finally able to, you know, have some quiet time and recenter my life. And I was thankful. I was really thankful for what God has done and is still doing. And as I, you know, chat with God, pray, I was reminded that joy comes from a heart of thanksgiving. And I realized that being a mom will be exhausting. That's a fact that I can't really change. And I guess I choose to become a mom, right? So it's actually my own choice. But yeah, I mean, you know, a mom, that's a 24/7 job. There is no pay. Since there is no pay, of course, there is no pay time off. There is no lunch break unless, you know, your child is napping. Hi. And even when you're sick, you can't take a sick day, right? You just need to keep rolling. It's okay, baby. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's exhausting, right? But I also realized that our heart attitude can really make a difference in whether I see it as a burden or a gift. And I realize that this applies to all aspects of my life. Whatever, you know, in the season that I'm in, whatever role that God entrusted to me, I can choose to see it as a burden and perform it while, you know, complaining in my heart. Or I can also choose to see it as a gift and a privilege and do it out of a heart of thanksgiving, right? So, you know, whatever you have right now, do we actually see what God has given to us as a burden or as a gift or privilege, right? And, you know, Kyle was born healthy and we were able to, you know, bring him home 2 days after. And that on its own is actually already a miracle. So just a little fun fact. On average, every month, there is actually only a 24-hour time period that you can conceive. So being pregnant, you know, getting pregnant on its own is actually a huge miracle. Even more, having the baby born, you know, alive and everything normal, right? Because for a baby to be born healthy, billions and billions of cells need to develop at the right time, at the right place. So, yeah, I mean, you know, being able to bring Kyle home healthily, that's a huge miracle. And as I give thanks even for, as I start to give thanks even for the little things, God fills my heart with joy. And I believe it's this joy that gives me the strength to carry on every day through those periods of time of sleepless nights. During that time, a verse that I kept repeating to myself is from Nehemiah 8. It says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So recently I heard someone on Instagram saying this quote, which is pretty interesting. "Life is full of moments, big moments and small moments. Joy comes when you find meaning in these moments." So we can actually find joy even in the smallest moments. And you know, as I start to give thanks for the seemingly insignificant thing, I start seeing, you know, little things as being joyful. For example, just seeing Kyle smiling or, you know, just seeing him play, it actually brings me a lot of joy. And witnessing him do a new skill, achievement unlock, right? Like recently he just started walking and he's this independent young toddler now who has, you know, who has in mind what he wants. Now he wants the piano, I guess. And also recently he was able to start saying mama. So it's really heartwarming for me when he looks at me, he saw me coming and he walks to me, hug me and call me mama. You know, that gives me a lot of joy. And it's when, you know, all these little things, it seems really insignificant, but these are the things that gives me joy on a everyday basis. And another thing is, I remember when Kyle was just born, I remember wanting him for myself. It's kind of like a really selfish thought. Meaning, you know, I want him to spend most of his time with me. I don't want other people to be closer to him than I am. I basically want to hug him all for myself. But of course, I soon realized that's not healthy for me. That's not healthy for him. And when he's with other people, obviously, I can get my much-needed sleep, which I really needed. And so I start appreciating, you know, all the help that we can get. And now, looking back, it actually gives me a lot of joy seeing how, although he's still so small, but I can see that he already has some people that he trusts. There are, you know, some people that I can see as his people, you know, his group of his clique, basically, right? For example, Jess is a really good friend of ours, and she lives with us. And every time, so her room is on the first floor. Our living room is on the second floor. And every time she opens her door, Kyle will stop whatever he's doing. He would turn around, and he would go to the stairway to wait for her. And, you know, his eyes would light up every time he sees her coming. And, you know, that really is heartwarming for me, seeing how there are people who, you know, truly care for him and who he can trust other than his parents. So there is really, you know, a lot of indescribable joy in motherhood. And of course, there are times when this joy gets replaced by the exhaustion and the frustration. But after each tiring day, both Rinaldi and I, we would find ourselves watching Carl's video, and we wouldn't be able to help but smile. So yeah, that really gives us strength for the next day. And so I guess that's the easier part, joy. Next, I'll go into the challenges. Motherhood, it's been, although it's only been 15 months, but it's been a journey for me. And of course, there are a lot of challenging times in each part of the journey, from, you know, conceiving to being pregnant to the labor itself to taking care of a newborn. And now that Carl is a toddler who has a mind of his own and know what he wants, know what he doesn't want. Yeah, now I guess the big challenge is disciplining, like what Tian Yan said. But one of the things for myself, what I realized about myself as I walk in this motherhood journey is I realize I'm just so incapable of loving. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. I used to think that I am pretty capable of loving people. I mean, I think I'm okay. You know, I can love people. But obviously, after having a baby, it really challenges my prideful thinking. And there are just so many times when I lose my patience and I start yelling at Kyle. For example, so now, you know, he wants to do things on his own, right? And we would put his food on his table, and he would want to eat on his own. But then, of course, there are times when he would throw his food down to the floor. And we really don't want him to, you know, waste food and throw his food away, right? So we would tell him no, but obviously he doesn't really listen yet. So after a few times, I would lose my patience and I would yell at him. I mean, that is not love, but there are just so many times when I'm not patient with him and I'm not kind to him. But on the other hand, you know, realizing how incapable I am to love, I also realize how perfect God's love is for each one of us. I mean, with Kyle, he only like probably threw food like, you know, a few times and I lost my patience with him. With God, I've probably disobeyed him like countless of times. And he's still there for me. You know, he still answers my prayers. When I seek his guidance, he's still there for me. He's still walking with me. He still embraces me after I did something that I know would break his heart, right? So, you know, it really shows me how perfect God's love is for me. And just to share a little bit about something that happened this past 15 months, one of the most challenging time for us was actually when we found out that Kyle had a condition and he needed to go through a procedure, aka a surgery. So he was born with a condition, but we were told that when he was born, we were told that it's supposed to correct itself before he turns 6 months. Unfortunately, when he turned 6 months, we went to the doctor and we were told that it was still there. So after further evaluation, the doctor determined that he needed to have a surgery. And as parents, you know, you really just want your kids to be healthy. You don't want anything lacking from your kids. And so obviously it was really heartbreaking for us. It was during that period of time, I questioned God a lot. I questioned him, why did this happen, right? Why did he allow this to happen to Kyle? Why do we have to go through this? I mean, you know, other kids, they seem really healthy, no issues, no need for surgery whatsoever. And I mean, at that time, he was only 6 months, so he's tiny. So it was a challenging time, and there were like a bunch of scenarios running through my mind. What if, right? He's so small. What if there is a tiny little overdosage on the anesthetic and he doesn't wake up? What if the surgery doesn't go well and there goes? What if? But and at the time, I was actually also questioning, what could I have done differently to prevent this from happening? And I eventually did ask the doctor, what could I have done, right? And what can I do in the future to prevent this from happening if we were to have a second kid? And we were told there is really nothing that we can do. It's just based on statistics, there is a percentage of babies who are born who have this condition. So it was a challenging time for us, but then we did learn quite a few things from this, which I want to share with you guys, hoping that it can bless you. Well, throughout this thing, you know, it makes me realize that no matter how hard we try to nurture our child, no matter how hard we try to protect him, to take care of him, there are just some things that are beyond our control. And I think just like life in general, right? No matter how hard we try, there are just some things that is beyond our control. There are just some things that we have to live up to God, right? And I also realized that if my heart breaks hearing the news, how much more heartbroken God is. After all, Kyle is God's son as well, right? God is the one who created him in my womb, and God is the one who knows him before he was even born. And going back to what I said previously about how perfect God's love is, God loves him and his, you know, God's love for him is perfect and my love is not. So how much more heartbroken is this for someone who loves Kyle perfectly, right? So throughout this whole experience, it taught us a few things. One is to trust and surrender to the Lord, because Kyle is God's son. He loves him so much more and so much more perfectly that we could ever love him. And God knows what he is doing. So Kyle is in good hands. The song that we sang earlier, he is a good father, that's just who he is. Exactly, that's just who he is. He is a good father to each one of us, and he knows what he's doing, right? And the second thing is, every moment is a gift. Cherish it. So, you know, one thing that I was reminded of is to be thankful and to cherish every moment. There are times when I just grow tired of taking care of Kyle. I know, right? I mean, he's so cute. How can you ever get tired of him? But I mean, when I'm exhausted, maybe that's just me. When I'm exhausted, I just don't want to play with him. I just want my me time. And this unfortunate event, it reminds me that we're all living on borrowed time, and the breath that we have in our lungs each day that we are given, it's a gift. We don't deserve it, but God gifted us this gift. And it's an even more precious gift if we can, you know, when we can actually spend the day with our loved ones, right? So, and, you know, he can give, and God can give, God can take away according to his wisdom, which we may not understand all the time. So while we can, you know, while we are given the chance, let's cherish the moments that we have with our loved ones. Anyway, so back to the story. So Kyle ended up having a procedure when he was around 9 months. That's him in his cute little hospital robe. And we were trying to entertain him because that's around 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And because he had to go through full anesthetic, so he couldn't eat since the night before. So he was actually super cranky and hangry over here. A few minutes after this picture, he was wailing really loudly because he was just hangry. But yeah, that's him. And thankfully, the surgery, everything went well. Everything went as expected. And this is actually him the next day after the surgery. So it's amazing how fast babies heal. He was back to his normal self like the day after. And looking back on the hindsight, I'm really thankful that God allowed us to go through all of this. I mean, it's not something good, and obviously I don't want any of us to go through it. But, you know, again, it's not within our control, right? And Romans 8:28 says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When things don't go our way, there is oftentimes nothing we can do but to pray and to seek God for refuge, for comfort. And that's exactly what we did. Rinaldi and I, we spent a lot of time during that period of time just worshiping and praying together and seeking God for comfort. And that's actually the good that we got out of this. We didn't receive, you know, any sort of material blessings in this case, but we received something even more precious. We received spiritual blessing, right? This whole incident, it drew us closer to God as a family, and it strengthened our faith. And I hope, you know, for a lot of you guys are not a mom yet, but I hope this can also apply to you. I know that some of you are still waiting for transfer news. Some of you are looking for internships, looking for jobs. And, you know, a lot of the things that we experience in life, oftentimes we do our best, but the result is not within our control, right? So let's have faith that God is a good father to each one of us. God knows what he is doing, and God has a really good plan for you guys. Everything will work out for the good, okay? So I hope this sharing can strengthen you as well and can bless you guys. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Being a mom, it's not easy. It's challenging. It requires 24/7 dedication. It will consume a lot of your time, if not all your time. It requires you to be creative, patient, energetic, all at the same time. The position is irreplaceable, but I think everyone agree. Moms are the best in doing what they are doing. No one else can replace a mom. But yet, a lot of time, it is not appreciated enough. I'm not a mom, obviously, but I have the privilege to kind of observe how mom do their thing. And being honest with you, I'm really mesmerized, and I cannot explain, and I cannot understand. And I have a little envy at the same time with the bond that a mom has with their children, the bond that a mom has with their children. And I believe one of the main reason what makes mom so special, what makes mom the best in doing what they are doing, is because of that special bond that they have with their children. You know, I'm not a mom, I'm a dad. I have two kids. And when I took them out without the mom, I usually bought them donuts, I bought them ice cream and all that. So I think I see myself as a cool dad, you know. I'm the cool one, right? I don't think when my wife take the kids out, I don't think she bought them donuts and ice cream, but I did, right? So I'm the cool one. But regardless of what I think, regardless of what I feel, I'm pretty sure my kids think different way. Regardless how many donuts I give them, regardless how many ice cream I bribe them with, my kids will choose their mom in a heartbeat. I'm not sure what, but there's this special bond between a mom and their children. A mom is always going to be the best comforter. A mom is always going to be the best teacher. A mom is going to be the best reminder for their children. But church, as I close, do you know that we as the children of God, we also have that special bond with God, just like a mom with their children. The best comforter is not a great food, it's not coffee, it's not music. The best comforter for us is God, the Holy Spirit. The best teacher is not your professor, it's not your friend, it's not your experience. The best teacher for us is God, the Holy Spirit. The best reminder is not your phone, it's not your notes, it's not your Google calendar. The best reminder for us is God, the Holy Spirit. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The original Greek word is parakletos, which translated as comforter, counselor, advocate, helper. The word is passive, which indicates that it is someone that is called upon our life to walk beside us. Someone that is called to side of another. God, the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, has been called to your side, to my side. His personal being, he indwells in the every believer to comfort us, to console us, and to help us. When I think about it, I always wonder, God, why? Who am I that you want to live inside of me? God, who am I that you are willing to help me out and walk beside me? I don't have any good answers. I don't have any good explanations other than God loves us so much. Just like a mother loves their children. The Holy Spirit is God who is always be there to comfort us and to console us. There are a lot of challenges in our life. There are a lot of challenges in your life, in my life. Our life, whether we like it or not, will be filled with problems, conflicts, and challenges. There will be a lot of emotional turmoil once in a while, and that's just the fact of life. There's an article recently, you probably read it, that there's a study that shows there's a spike in the teen suicide rates after the debut of Netflix show 13 Reasons Why. I don't know whether that's a good study or not. I don't know whether that's the right conclusion or not. I don't know whether that study was done scientifically or not. But regardless of what you think and my thing, I think we all can agree. There's a rise in stress, anxiety, and depression, regardless of what your age group is. A lot of time it leads to suicide. I think it is time that we need to realize that the way we cope with our stress has to be better. It has to be different. We live in a so-called social culture where we share everything, but a lot of time it doesn't bring joy, it brings depression. When you see other people doing so good, it doesn't bring joy, but it brings you down. A lot of time when you see what other people do, it doesn't bring joy, but it brings you down. We feel love, we feel affirmations based on the like and thumbs up we receive on social media. When no one likes our posts, we feel invincible and no one cares for us. I think we need to find a better way to cope with our stress, anxiety, and depression. We think that vacation will help. I have nothing against vacations, taking time off, Sabbath rest, whatever you want to call it, but sooner or later you will realize that vacation is not enough, and it's never enough. Because real rest, real security, real relief can only be found in God and can only be given by the Holy Spirit. In John 14, the continuations of that verse, peace I leave with you, peace I will leave you. John, after writing about the Holy Ghost, and then Jesus, after talking about the Holy Ghost, there's a comforter that I'm going to send you. He said, peace I will leave with you. The comforter, the Holy Spirit, given to us to comfort, to teach, to guide, to remind us, and to give us real peace at the end. Just like a relationship between a mother and a child, the child feels safe, secure, and comforted. Because the relationship that they have with the mother, our real rest, our real sense of security and peace can only come through our relationship with God, through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So church, build your relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's walking beside you. He go through what you go through. He knows your deepest thoughts. He knows what is your deepest struggles. But let me ask you this. You have the best comforter in the whole wide world, but do you come to him when you need it? You have the best teacher in the whole wide world, but do you come to him when you need guidance? You have the best source of strength in the whole wide world, but do you go to him when you need strength? Go with Holy Spirit. I remind you again today, church, the Holy Spirit is in you to guide you. He's called to walk beside you to strengthen you. Amen.